Oh, do I need to volunteer you? There we go, Dave.
Gracious Father, so we just surrender ourselves. You know that there are many needs here today. Father, as we place those needs at the foot of your cross, might your Holy Spirit have the freedom to bring about the change that you have spoken of this morning. That in our lives we might see victory, we might experience victory, and we might live that victorious life that you desire for us. So Holy Spirit, right now, continue to form in us, continue to move in us, continue to change us. Amen. For the honor and glory, yes, of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Today in Jesus' name.
And lady, if you'll just stand up, Dave will give you the mic. Yvonne.
Lord, we thank you that you made the great sacrifice, that you surrendered your life for us so that we can live. And as we have sung that this morning, I surrender. Help us to surrender all to you this morning. Everything let us lay at your feet. So, Lord, that you can work in our hearts and you can work in our lives and bring change this morning. That when we leave here today, we will be different people, totally and completely surrendered to you, Lord. Mm. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. It's exciting to be in the Lord's presence. We had a few things we needed to do this morning, so I went into the prayer room fairly late. And I walked in and I sat down. And I started sensing the Lord's presence. And God is busy with us. Like, it was different this morning from last week, but that doesn't matter. Because we move from glory to glory in the Lord. Amen. But God is busy with us. Things are changing. Things are changing in the church. In fact, I would hazard to say that we're seeing more people in church. Praise the Lord. Praise. And there's people missing. Amen. And no man can claim that glory. Okay. Because it's God that is busy moving. Amen. So I want you to bear with me this morning. Josh reminded me when I was warming up. He was saying, Dad, you're on the platform. What are you doing? You look like you're distracted. And I was distracted. You see, I had the privilege of lecturing this week. I've never done it before. I've done it, yeah. But of doing 2 days of training, which I presented with the help of some others. And I learned a few things. One of the things I learned was that this thing is a barrier between you and the people. And Pastor Pat started doing it at night. He just uses his music stand and he preaches and he sits behind it. And I felt I wanted to do that. And then I looked and my water was there and I thought, ach nee, that's going to cause problems. And now I came to get a drink of my water and I knocked it over and fell in my computer bag. And so I don't know what's going to happen. We'll trust the Lord with that. But I felt something else. And Joshua, I want to ask you to do it for me. Why don't you go and borrow Pastor Pat's stand for me and bring it here for me? And I want to move this. And it's not because of what I just said to you. It's something else. I want to show you something symbolic. Conrad, we can just pull it back. We'll just take it right back there. Thank you. There we go. Because I feel the Lord has showed me something this morning. And it's maybe it is in line with the message. Thank you. Thanks, Pastor Pat. I didn't ask, but I know you don't mind. You can charge me rent. I'll give them my bill for preaching in return. No, I'm just joking. And now move away behind it. What I want you to see, church, and I believe that's what the Lord was showing me, it's almost like He wants us to get to the place where the things, our barriers, are stripped away. So instead of being able to hide behind a pulpit, I stand here before you, my personality revealed, my heart's desires revealed, myself revealed. But not because I want to stand before you like this, because I want to stand before God like this, with nothing getting in the way. And I believe the Lord is calling us to that. He's calling us to a genuineness. I believe this is a word from Him. He's calling us to a place where it's not a put-on thing. There's no makeup. There's no lipstick on this pig. It's just a pig. I'm a bad example for in the church. You understand what I'm saying? There's nothing to hide the genuineness. God is calling us to that place. We can't hide anything from Him in any case. He sees us as we are. So why don't we present ourselves to Him as we are? Here I am, warts and all, Lord. And then I want to say, and maybe this is going to be a harder pill to swallow. Why don't we do that with each other in the church as well? Oh, there's some things we don't want people to know about us. Amen. I'm not saying be stupid, okay? But I'm saying, why don't we let down our guard and let God move in our lives? So as I stand behind this music stand this morning, for two reasons. Number one is because it's going to help me to connect better with you. But first and foremost, because I believe God wants it to be a visual example of what He's asking us to do. Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all, Lord. Here I am, this is me. I know I need You. I know my failures. I know my weaknesses. I know those things that I go back to. At my own frustration, let alone the fact that I need to call on Your grace once again. The Lord's asking us to lay ourselves bare. If we're going to surrender, this is what it's going to take. Here I am, Lord. Amen. All right, that's message number one. Now let me get into my sermon for this morning. And I praise the Lord for the word that He gave both through Josh in the encouragement. You know, God answers prayer. In the back there, as we prayed, I said, Lord, will You give Josh a prophetic anointing? And when the worship leader starts talking in amongst the praise and worship, let your ears take note, because God uses us. Not because we're special, but because God, the Holy Spirit, is in us. Amen. And the word that Pastor Pat gave, you are in it. You're waiting for the latter glory. It's time to stop waiting. Amen. So my message this morning is, I can know and do the will of God. I don't know if any of you have read the books by Henry Blackaby. I can't remember the other guy's name. It's in my notes here. Called Experiencing God. Some years ago, I read it. And it had a major impact on my life. Because it showed me a practical way in which I can experience God. You know, our questions are always, Lord, use me, use me. How do I do this? And we can go in circles. This morning, I trust, if you sit up and take notice, God is going to show you how easy it is. So, before I go any further, because I'm messing up my nice introduction that I worked so hard on in this message, and now I can't cross my legs and hang on to the pulpit. Okay. We started the year off with a bang. We've started it. Who's excited about what God's doing? Can we give the Lord a praise offering? Amen, because He's busy moving. Are you excited about coming to church on a Sunday morning? Amen, yes. But it's not just about this. This is just a small part of it. Are you excited about what God has got planned for your life for this year? Amen. Let's give Him another praise offering. Hallelujah. He's spoken to us. He spoke to us remember I preached about abiding in Him and living the transformed life. And I said, that's how we're to live. But what are we to do? And the word came through the fast. And as Pastor Pat led us through Acts, and we read about, I have people in the city. That's what God is saying I want you to do. So of course, the next questions that are going to come is this. Lord, we don't want to lose momentum. We want to continue. We want to succeed. In fact, we want to see this move of God expand and even explode in our midst into greater momentum. We want to see lives changed. We want to see something happen. We don't want to just say, oh, we're having such a wonderful move of God at church, and then in 6 months' time, we've got nothing to show for it. Who can say amen? Amen. We want something to be different. We want the latter glory to be made manifest. That's what we want. We want to allow God to allow us to participate with Him in obedience and listen to His call to reach the people that He has in the city. We want to be part of what He's doing. So the natural questions that we need to ask right now are this. Where to from here? Where to from here, Lord? It's great that we're having great Sunday morning services, but what next? It's not enough. We need to move from glory to glory. How do we hear you right, Lord? How do we align ourselves with what you're busy doing, with what you're calling us to do? Those should be our next questions. Who believes that? Amen. And I believe as I share with you this message that I picked up out of this book, knowing and doing the will of God, experiencing God, it's going to give you seven keys or seven, look at my seven, sorry, seven. Seven keys to knowing and experiencing the will of God in this circumstance, in this situation that we find ourselves in right now. Who'd like to do that? So what I'd like to encourage you to do is to sit up straight in your chair, take note, don't let yourself doze off because there's a test at the end. And please remind me, the reason we were late at going into the prayer room was that I've prepared a little piece of paper with these 7 points on it that's going to help you remember. Maybe you can pray through them. Maybe you can just remind yourself, put it in your Bible so you can see it. It must be handed out at the end of the service. I didn't want to hand it out now because I knew you were going to read it and then it's going to blow my message. Okay, so I was being selfish. So this morning we're going to learn about how God works, how He speaks to us, how He involves us with what He is busy with, and how we will experience Him at work as we move in obedience and work alongside Him. Who'd like to do that? Amen. So, we'll look at these seven realities. And we're going to learn these seven realities from the life of Moses. But I want to tell you, church, that I was thinking about it. If you go and look at any of the biblical characters, I'm quite sure that you could pick up these seven realities and find them in that person's life as well. And if you then look at yourself and you think about how God has worked with you in the past, you'll be able to identify these seven realities in your own life as well. So let's have a look at it. The first reality. There we go. My beautiful assistant is working well this morning. I had to say that. Otherwise I'd be in trouble, eh? I'm joking. I said it because I meant it. God is always at work around me. The first reality we need to understand is that God is at work around them. How many people here long to experience God at work? Let me see a show of hands. Most of us. Amen. How many people here long for God to work in and through them? Let me see another show of hands. Amen. And my third question to you is, how many people here, this is the tough question, this is a question with a barb on the end, feel like it's too long since they last experienced God and experienced Him working in their lives? Let's see a show of hands. What do you mean? It says bong, eh? Stick up your hands high. Let the Lord see it. Let me see it too. Amen. Remember what I said. I'm standing behind this thing. It's time to put off the pretense. Let's be real. Amen? Right. At least Tony's going to be real with me. Thank you, Tony. Okay. Sadly, many people who long for God to move and work in their lives and they want to experience God are blissfully unaware that God is and has been working in their lives all along. How many of us, if we look back, and we think of the difficult circumstances we went through, or maybe dangerous situations that we faced, realize that God was with us in that situation. But at the time, we are blissfully unaware that God is busy. How many of us have experienced that? Can I see a show of hands? I'm going to make you put up your hands a lot this morning to show that you're still awake, really. So if you don't put up your hands, I'll know you're sleeping. Oh, no. I'm going to have to say you must do this if you agree with me. Because if you put up your hand, I'm not going to be sure if you trying to show me you're not sleeping or whether you agree with me. Okay. I want you to turn to the person next to you, look into their eyes and say, God is working in you. Okay, turn to the person on the other side and say, God is busy working in you. Amen. Turn in your Bibles with me to Exodus 2. Is that a revelation for you? Who thinks it's good news to know that God's busy working there? Amen. I'm going to have to watch the clock because I'm going to enjoy this morning. Okay, Exodus chapter 2 and verse 23. And stay in Exodus chapter 2. I might jump around a little bit within Exodus chapter 2, but we're going to work from there for most of the message. Verse 23. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage. And they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel and acknowledged them. God took notice of their cries. God was aware of their situations. Who knows that God is aware of your circumstances and your situation? Who knows that God has heard us groaning and complaining sometimes even, and saying, Lord, I need your help. I need your touch. I'm struggling. I don't know how to deal with this situation. And then if you turn to the next chapter of Exodus, chapters 3, and verse 7, it says, and the Lord said, speaking to Moses, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. God knows our sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and a large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. You see, God has heard us, but he hasn't stood still. I think this thing is ringing a little bit, Patrick. Is it my imagination? I'm just going to take it down a little bit. I don't want to let it be a distraction. So, I have come down to deliver them. God has not stopped at hearing us. God has come to deliver us. I say, no, Edgar. No, I just saw him smiling. God has come to deliver us. He has not said, I'm not going to move. He said, I'm going to move. We've been saying, Lord, you've promised us that the glory of the latter church will be greater than that of the former. And we said, Lord, we're crying to you. We're seeing things going in the other direction. And God says, I've heard you. And my hand has moved. I'm busy moving. You are in the latter. God is busy moving in our midst. The Israelites were suffering and they cried out to God. God heard them and he was concerned about them. He's concerned about you and me, not just about the church, but about our circumstances. And he's got a plan. Who can agree that God's got a plan? This was the scenario into which Moses was born. God had a plan for the Israelites. And as he had a plan for them, Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, I know the plans I have for you. Say that with me. I know the plans God has for me. I know the plans that God has for me. Amen. Maybe we actually don't know, but he knows. Right. Here's a quick question. What is God busy with right now? Who can tell me? Quick hand. Sorry. He's busy working out. Give me an example of where he's working. Who can give me an example of where he's working? Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Sadly, and please don't think I'm picking on you. Okay, that's the problem. Because we only look here. Where else is God working? He said, I've got people in the city. Do you think God is busy working in the city? Amen. He's working all around. Sorry, I wasn't trying to say you self-focused. I was using it as an example. Amen. But sometimes this is the only place we focus. Lord, I am battling. Lord, I am struggling. Lord, will you do this for me? And we were going through the study in our encounter group on Wednesday night, and we had a wow moment when we realized all of our prayers are self-focused. We need to watch in our prayer meetings that our prayers are not self-focused. Lord, will you bless our meeting on Sunday morning? Lord, will you bless those that you have in the city? Will you draw them? Lord, will you bring people across their path so that they can meet you? Do you see the subtle difference? God said in Acts 18 verse 10, before I have many in the city. That's what God is busy with right now. It's not all that God's busy with. He's busy in your life and my life too, exactly as Lulu and Tony suggested. But that's not the only place he's working. He's working in our lives and all around us. And we need to realize God is busy working. Full stop. God is busy working. He never stops. He's busy working. That's the first thing we need to know. He's busy working. The second thing we need to know is that God pursues a continual love relationship with you and I that is real and personal. He's looking for a relationship with you and I that is real and personal. Who knows that? Who responded to Jesus and gave their heart to Jesus and realized that Jesus, it was like God was talking to nobody else in the service but to you. Who's experienced that? This morning I felt God was dealing with me. And as Josh spoke and I came and knelt here, I said, Lord, here I am. I surrender myself. Take away that which is getting in the way. I want to come just as I am into your presence. Hence, nothing to hide me from you. God wants to work with us as individuals. He wants to chase a love relationship with us. God didn't wait for Moses to come to him and say, God, you know that you saved me as a baby. And I grew up in the palaces of Egypt. And I'm the man for the hour. Use me. Did we read about that in the Bible? No. What did we read? We read about God approaching Moses. How did he do it? Through the burning bush. God attracted Moses' attention. He drew him to himself because he wanted to engage with Moses. He wanted to have a personal relationship with Moses. And every one of us, in one way or another, God has drawn us to him. And he wants to have a personal relationship with you and with me today. He didn't wait. He took the initiative. He initiated a love relationship with Moses. In Exodus 24, verse 12, and I'm going to jump scriptures, verse 12, 15 to 16, and verse 18, it says this. Exodus 24. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me. Oh, this is another time in Moses' life. This wasn't the burning bush. This is somewhere else. The Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and on the seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up on into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. God comes into our lives in a series of encounters that we will have with him and speaks to us. He doesn't only speak to us once. He speaks to us on a continual basis. He once spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. Then when Moses was leading his people, he spoke to him. He called him up onto the mountain and he spoke to him out of the smoke and the fire. He spoke to him. Moses met with God. He said, come up here to me and I will give you that which you need to teach the people. God is calling you and I. He's speaking to us on a continual basis. It may not be on the mountain. It may be through his word. It may be through a church service. It may be through a prophetic word. There's many ways in which God chases that love relationship. But he's calling us to be with him. He's calling us to be with him. And you know what he's saying to you and I today? He's calling out in love and he says, come here. Come here, Christian Heritage. Come here, child of God. I want to meet with you. I want to give you what you need. I want to equip you to minister to the people that I have in the city. Who wants to hear God calling them today? Who's going to respond? You see, when God calls us, Moses could have turned and run from that fiery burning bush. He could have said, I've never seen anything like that. That's weird. I'm out of here. He could have said to God, no, God, I can't come up on that mountain. You there. You see, we've got a choice this morning. When God speaks to us, when he initiates that loving relationship, when he says, come to me, we can turn and run with our tail between our legs. And then we might have to have a Damascus Road experience like Paul had, where the blinding light comes and God speaks and he says, Larry, Herman, I tell you what, we'll all get a skrik. Amen? But God wants to have a relationship with us and he will initiate that. That's it. We need to say, yes, Lord, here I am. Yes, Lord, here I am. Young Samuel, speak, Lord, I'm listening. So, church, I want to ask you this morning, when you hear God speaking to you like that, what are you going to do? Are you going to respond? Or are you going to turn and run? Think about it for a moment. The third point I want to make, and I'm going to have to move, is that God speaks to me, and I made this personal, so I want you to think about it as you. God speaks to me through the Holy Spirit, through the Bible, through prayer, through circumstances, and through the church to reveal Himself and His purposes and His ways to me. God will speak to me personally to reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. And he has the example of the burning bush, Exodus 3, verse 2 to 6. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flaming fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. But the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, see, he got his attention. I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he had turned back aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses! And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take the sandals off your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And church, I want to tell you that while the Lord is busy working in our midst, we are standing on holy ground. We need to be very careful if we want the Holy Spirit to remain in our midst, the move of God to continue, that we revere and honor and worship God. Things like gossip, things like evil living, things like complaining and murmuring. You can't do it while you're standing on holy ground, church. Let us make a decision today. We stand on holy ground. Let us be holy as God's holy chosen people. Then he said, moreover he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And then if you read in Numbers 12, verse 6 to 8, don't worry, I'll just read it. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face. So God developed a relationship with Moses that he no longer needed to speak to him through the burning bush. Moses got to the point where God just spoke to him face to face. But the point I'm trying to make is God will speak to you and he'll speak to me. And he's got many ways. And we need to open our ears and listen. And church, you know, I made a note here. He spoke to Moses through the burning bush. He spoke to Balaam through an ass. Okay? God will choose to speak to you any way he likes because he's God. We need to be ready to listen. And my question here to you is this. God has been speaking to Christian Heritage. Who knows that God has been speaking to us? Amen. What has he said to us? Right, you've already given me this answer this morning. Give me that answer again. Who can tell me? What has God said to us? I've got people in the city. It's one of the things he said to us. Amen. But that is what I wanted you to say. God said, I have people in the city. God has, you know what? He shares his plans with his people. Amen. And then, my fourth point is that God is inviting me, and think about it as you, to become involved with him in his work. He has shared it with us, what he's busy doing. And he said to us, Christian Heritage, are you willing to come and work with me? And that is the question this morning, church. You see, we know what God is doing, but what are we willing to do? Are we willing to go and work alongside God? Who's willing to go and work alongside God? Let me see a show. Don't put up your hand if you don't mean it. Amen. Are you willing? You see, he revealed himself to Moses. Exodus 3 verse 7 said, I read the scripture earlier, this oppression of my people who are in Egypt. God has seen it. And I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I've come down to deliver them. God has come to do a work. He'd come to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Egyptians. And to bring them up from that to a land, good and large, a land flowing with milk and honey. God was at work. But then he did something remarkable. In Exodus 3 verse 10, it says this, come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God is speaking to you and I. And he says, come now therefore. I've got a people in this city, a people suffering under the weight of bondage and sin and all sorts of rubbish, and I want to free them. Come now therefore, and I will use you to bring them out. Amen. Hallelujah. God is calling us to bring His people out. He's inviting you and I. What a privilege. Are you with me? What a privilege we have. God has spoken specifically to Christian Heritage Church and says, come now. I've got a job I'm busy with. I've got a people I'm concerned with. And I want you to help me with this people. We have a call from God, church. How long has it been since we can say, I've got a call from God? How long has it been since we as Christian Heritage could say, God has called us? We've been saying, the latter shall be greater than the former. Over and over and over and over, and we've been waiting for something to happen. God has said it's happening. Come on, let's do it. Amen. Aren't you getting excited? I'm getting excited. I'm excited as I stand here this morning. I'm not just trying to perk you up so that you can go home in a good mood. I'm trying to hook you into the Word of God and hook you. You know, I keep on, every time I preach, I feel God is saying to me, challenge the people. We need to change. He's calling for a change of heart. He's calling for a change of mind. He's calling for a change of doing things. Amen. And I want to lift my hand and say, Lord, well, here I am. And if it requires that I'm going to have to do something, well, that's cool. It's great. Because I want to do it with you. Amen. He's saying, come now, therefore, and I will send you. But do you know what he did with Moses? He called him up on the mountain and said, you have the tablets. Why am I giving you the tablets? So you can go and teach this people. You know, we don't need to fear. Because God will give us what we need. He's going to enable us to go out to the people that he has. And church, I want to make it clear. He's got people in this city. I want to tell you, I live in Riddipwood. I don't live in Krugersdorp. But what we discussed on Wednesday night was this. When the Holy Spirit was given by Jesus, he said, I will make you my disciples in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the edges of the earth. God is calling us to be witnesses in Krugersdorp, in Gauteng, South Africa, and throughout the earth. Amen. You don't think we can reach us throughout the world? That daily encouragement we send out on a daily basis through the week goes all over the world. It doesn't just go to South Africa. We're already reaching all over the world, church. Who says God can't open doors for us? The Ukraine, America, England, China. I don't know, China, but China. Amen. He can take us wherever He chooses to. And now I'm going to stop being carried away with the message. My encouragement to you today is to say yes to God's invite. I want to encourage you this morning to say yes to God's invite. Because it is an invite. You know, when you have a function, you send out a letter or email or a card, and on it it says RSVP. And you either say yes or no. How are you going to RSVP God this morning? Are you going to say yes or no? I will be in attendance or I won't be in attendance. Because God is inviting us to work with Him. I want to warn you. And it's not part of my message. But in the parables that Jesus told, he told a parable of the wedding feast. And all the important guests were invited. And none of them responded. And eventually, the servants were sent out into the street to find those who were willing. Are we going to wait until God goes into the street to find those who are willing? Or are we going to stand up and say, Lord, no, we don't want to lose our chance. Turn to the person next to you and say, this is our chance. Now turn to the person next to you and shout at them and say, this is my chance. Amen. Are you excited? God is giving us a chance, church. The fifth point. When God calls me to work with Him, it leads me to a crisis of belief and it requires faith and action. And let me show you. Exodus 3. In fact, for the sake of time, we all know that story, don't we? But Moses said to God this, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And then again he said, but so suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. And suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. And then Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent. Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. You know what, when I preach, I keep on, if you stand in front of me, you get a shower. I feel so inadequate sometimes. But that doesn't mean it's going to stop me. But he said, oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. So our natural response is, oh Lord, I'd love to, but can't you find somebody else who can do it better than me? I want to tell you this morning, church, there's no better person in this city than you for what God is calling you to do. I don't matter what church it is. He's called us, not them. He's got a purpose for them too. But He's called us to the people in the city. Amen. And let me tell you, God has not stopped. He's been talking to us over and over and over and over. Moses had 500 excuses, but eventually he went. And it had a massive, massive impact on the lives of the Israelites. Just think about it. What would have there been the impact if Moses was not obedient? And then I want to ask you, church, what will the impact be if you and I are not obedient? How many will land up in hell because you and I were not obedient? So not only is God inviting us, but we've got an obligation to go. And I want to just say, we so often do the same thing. I'll tell you in my own life. One day Pastor Pat spoke to me and he said, well, I want you to take over in the church. And I knew, for many years I'd had prophecies. And the Lord has spoken, and I was excited about it. But when it came down to the crunch, I didn't sleep that night. And I phoned him the next day. And I went through, not months, probably some years of coming to terms with it. It's not easy when God calls you. You will come to a place of crisis of belief. Or crisis of faith. And it's a natural thing. But you've got to get beyond the crisis of faith. So Lord, if I speak to somebody, what will they say? What if they reject me? Amen. How will I survive? I'm a career man. I earn a massive salary. How will I survive if I come and work in your kingdom, God? Lord, can't you? You probably can't provide for me, Lord. What a load of rubbish. Because God said, I will give you everything you need to teach the people. Amen. Yes. And I just use that example of my own life. I've come to terms with it now. I believe that the Lord has brought me to a place where I know I can trust Him. Amen. No matter what. Come what may, God is with me. And God is asking you to work through the crisis of belief. Lord, you've got people in the city. Lord, I'm not so sure about Christianity. No. Lord, I don't care if I get a little butterfly in my tummy because I'll get over it. Once you get through that crisis of belief, it's going to require that you step out in faith. Okay? You'll need to step out in faith and you'll have to do something. It's going to require faith and action. Faith and action. Doesn't help that I put up my hand all gung ho. Yes, Lord, use me. And tomorrow I'm exactly the same and nothing has changed. And I carry on saying, yes, Lord, use me. And I never am used because I never make myself available. I need to get through my crisis of belief. And I need to have faith. And I need to step out and start doing what God has called me to do. Amen. So God is calling us to action, church. Not to warm the pews. Not to sit here week after week after week after week and come to hear another message so I can make it through the week. He says, I want to get you involved. Amen. Amen. Let the Lord involve you. The sixth point, and I'm almost done. With 7 points. I will need to make major adjustments in my life to join God in what He's doing. That's the part we don't want to hear. Right, Lord, I'll do it as long as everything remains the same. I was thinking before I mentioned it. I don't know if it was Einstein. One of the key scientists said, if you keep performing the same experiment with the same input, the same things, and you expect a different result, you're being rather doff. Amen. If we keep doing the same thing, the same old way, over, but we used to do it that way in the 60s and it worked. And we did it in the 70s and the church was full and there were people sitting there. But it stopped working because the people are gone. Okay? But I want to carry on doing it that way. I'm expecting it to change. God is telling us, if we're going to move with Him, we need to be willing to embrace some change. Amen. And Pastor Pat spoke about that. Sorry, I'm pointing at you. I'm being rude. Pastor Pat spoke about that as well. He said, we're going to have to start being willing to accept some things that we're not used to. Okay? Maybe it's having to talk to that person with bad breath. Okay? I'm just using that as an example. Okay? Or maybe it's... let me give you another example. I've got a nice tie on this morning. I wish I had a jacket. And you're just little old you, and I'm big old me. I have got stature. I'm the man van die eer. How? And I'm tall, you can see. If you came and stood here, I'm much taller than you. Who would feel intimidated to come and speak to me? Surely it would be a bit intimidating. Unless you're a real extrovert. God is saying it may take even that. That you're willing to step out in faith and step beyond your fears and be willing to approach those that are intimidating. Amen. And I might still have bad breath to go with it. Okay? Come on, that was supposed to be funny. Come on, church, let's lift it a little bit. Okay. He's calling us. If we're going to come and join Him with what He's doing, it's going to require some major adjustments. In Exodus 4 verse 20, it said this, "Then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey." Moses put his wife and his sons on a donkey and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. So the rod of God signifies the fact that he said, "Okay, God, I'm going to accept your invite. Here's my RSVP." Okay? He packed up his family. He took them from their place of safety. Remember, 40 years earlier, he had fled from Egypt. He was taking them into a dangerous place. He packed them up. It wasn't easy. They rode on a donkey. They rode probably for weeks on end to get to Egypt. It was not easy. And when God is calling us to work with Him, things are not necessarily going to be a walk in the park. Are you willing to make the change? That is God's question this morning. Am I willing to make the adjustments in my life? It could be simpler adjustments. You might not have to sell your house and move and come and live next door to the church, okay? You may have to change some of the things you do. You may have to change some of your attitudes. You may have to change your attitude towards money. Okay? It might take money. Ooh. God, if we're going to work with God, we're going to have to make some major adjustments. It may take saying, "Lord, I know that I serve a holy God. If I serve a holy God, then I need to be holy. And I might need to change and walk away from all that compromise that's taking place in my life." Amen. And the seventh point I have tonight. Listen to me. This morning. And this is the exciting part, okay? Sit up and take notice, church. The seventh point is the exciting part. As I obey God, He will accomplish His work through me, and I will know Him by experience. Who would like to experience God? Amen. Exodus 14, verse 15 to 16. I just took one example. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me?'" This was at the Red Sea. "Tell the children of Israel to go forward." Where? The sea is in front of us, Lord. "But lift up your rod, lift up your RSVP, and stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go through on dry ground." Moses, right there, and then, as he raised his hand, experienced God delivering His people. And who did God use to do it? God used Moses. He lifted up his RSVP. He said, "Here I am, Lord. Akazarach." And He saw a miracle right there. As we lift up our rods, as we lift up our RFP, God is saying, "Wait and see what I will do. Watch the miracles that are going to take place. Watch my hand work and experience me at work. And you will be fulfilled like you've never been fulfilled in your life before." Who wants to see God's hands work? Can we clap our hands and say, "That's me, Lord"? Woo! Yeah! I want to just show you one more thing. Do you know when Moses heard God or saw God, he saw the burning bush? Where was Moses? He was in the wilderness. He was in the middle of a wilderness experience. Isn't that amazing? You say, but I'm going through X, Y, and Z. I'm in a wilderness. In fact, I haven't heard God speaking to me for 30 years. I'm struggling with sickness. I'm struggling with poverty. I'm struggling with my own challenges within me, things I don't like in me. God didn't say, oh, Moses, please come out and meet me in Egypt where it's lush and green. He met him in the wilderness and he called him in the wilderness. It doesn't matter if these chairs are empty. It doesn't matter if you've been going through a rough time. God is calling us to minister to his people. He will take us out of the wilderness. He will take us out of the wilderness as we step forward into his plan and purpose for us as a church. Isn't that exciting? Lord, take us out of the wilderness. So, in conclusion, these are the seven realities. You can pull it up there, sweetie. Just restart it. Okay. The seven realities are this. And we're going to give everybody a piece of paper with us this morning to help you remember it. The first one is that God is always at the work around me. He's busy. God is busy. Okay? With people. He loves people. God pursues a loving, continual relationship with me that's real and personal. In other words, he's interested in everything around me, but he's interested in me too. He loves me. And then the third one is God is inviting me to become involved with him in what he's busy doing. He's got that invitation out. We've got our letters with the RSVP on it. We need to reply. God speaks to me through the Holy Spirit, the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal himself, his purpose, and his ways to me. We know God has spoken to us. Fifth one is, when God calls me to work with him, it leads me to a crisis of belief. Sometimes I've got to climb over a little wall to get there. I need to deal with my own challenges, my own issues, before I can respond to God, my own fears. And once I've done that, it's going to require faith. I need to start moving and action. I need to do stuff. The sixth one is, I will need to make major adjustments in my life to join God in what he's doing. In other words, the status quo is not going to remain the same. Jesus remains the same, but his people go forward from glory to glory. Amen. Amen. We will not succeed if we try and do the same old, same old. Some of the same old is good. But some of it needs to change. And we need to be willing to change. And seventhly, the seventh point, as I obey God, he has the blessing. I will accomplish his work. He will accomplish his work using me. And I will know him by experience. I will see him at work. I will see him at work. What a blessing. What a fulfillment. If you want to live the fulfilled Christian life, church, if we want to live the fulfilled Christian life, church, let us embrace these 7 points. They're simple points. This is not rocket science stuff. And I challenge you in the week that lays before us, go and look at David's life, go and look at Samuel's life, go and look at Paul's life, and go and look at your life. And take those 7 points and write them down. Write them down and say, okay, where did God move in these people's lives? If you want this message to stick, go and do that, and it's going to work. Amen. Stand with me. I could apologize for preaching a bit long, but I needed to get through that. Did that touch your heart? Was it valuable? We need to take value out of coming to church. Sometimes it's not all about us. It's about the people God has in the city. It is all about us, because if not me, then who? If not me, then who? Amen. Now I wanted to actually invite everybody forward, but now I don't have enough time to do that. But I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I want to ask you, if you're saying, Lord, I want to give you my RSVP this morning. I want to make myself available. I'm not going to look. I want you to put up your hand. Let God look. And I'm going to pray. Lord, this morning, you've taught us a simple message. To realize that you're working in and around us. To realize that you love us. You've got such a love for us. To realize that there's an invitation that's outstanding that we need to respond to. We hold up our hands. Our hands, in fact, can I ask you, church, as a symbolic thing, to change your hand and make it a thumbs up. Lord, we hold up our thumbs. It's a sign of saying, yes, Lord, we like what you're saying to us, and we want to be part of what you're doing. We hold up our thumbs to say, yes, Lord, we accept. We are RSVPing this morning. Saying, yes, Lord, we'll get involved with you. Lord, we've heard your word. You've spoken to us. We realize, Father, that for some of us it's going to cause a crisis of faith. But Lord, we shall overcome that and we will move in faith. We realize, Lord, that it's going to take some change in our lives. Change in the way we think and change in what we do. And Lord, we don't even know what it is yet, but we know you will show us. And Lord, finally, we come with expectant hearts, knowing that as we move in obedience with you, we will experience you, your hand, moving. And Lord, not only that, but we will have the privilege that you will move through us. And that is exactly what Christian Heritage Church wants. Each one of us with our thumbs up in the air this morning saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name. So, Father, we pray by your grace that you will move us forward. Lord, you told us this morning we are in the latter glory. Well, Lord, let us respond to it. Let us move with the latter glory. We thank you for what you're busy doing. As we go out here, Lord, let us remember this message. Let it stick in our hearts and let it cause change to take place. Father, I pray for every need in this house. If people need healing, if they need deliverance, if they need financial touch, if they need an emotional touch, if they need work, Lord, that you will reach out and touch them right now. Just raise your hand to the Lord if you've got a need. Doesn't matter what it is, even if it isn't what I've said. Lord, I pray that you will meet needs, that you will sweep across this congregation this morning and meet needs wherever they are in Jesus. Just receive the touch of the Lord this morning in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And say thank you because it's done. In Jesus' name. And Lord, bless us as we continue now. Let your presence be with us. In Jesus' name. Amen.